Welcome to the Movie Blogs Podcast, The Correct Opinion. I am your host, Jim, for today's episode. Joining me are Ryan.
Hello.
Anthony.
Hey.
And from the Mile High City, Kenny finally found his way to the podcast. What's up, Kenny?
Hey, doing great.
Good to hear from you, Kenny.
Yeah, thanks.
It is history. First time all four of us are joined on the same podcast. So,
oh wow.
Historical moment in 2015. Speaking of history, how about Selma, guys? I know you, Ryan, and Ken, you guys reviewed the film and seen the film. There's a lot of buzz about it being a top nominee for the Academy Awards. What are your thoughts? I'm going to start off with you, Ryan, on the film. You saw it. What do you think of it?
I saw Kenny's review, and I know he's probably going to be ready to come at me, but, I thought David Oyelowo was absolutely amazing, and he's actually my pick for best actor of, 2014. I thought he was amazing as Martin Luther King. As far as the film goes, I really don't see it as best picture, and I don't even think I would put Ava DuVernay as a nominee for best director. I felt there was a lot of inconsistencies throughout the film, and I feel like it was having difficulty finding its footing, in my opinion.
That's Kenny, what do you think? Well, I think it's really interesting that you definitely highlighted the guy. I can never pronounce his name. Oyelowo, his work, because that is, I think. Yeah, that was up there for a performance to me. I really liked it, and I really liked how I kind of had mentioned this, kind of cartoonishly out of touch portrayal of kind of white politicians. I found that really fascinating on her end, kind of how she kind of showcased that with a lot of kind of complexity. And I also really appreciated how she really showed, you know, like this side of MLK that we have kind of heard about, but we really haven't seen in films. Like that scene with the infidelity really comes to mind. And I really did love that scene when he's talking with Tom Wilkerson, and he says to him, you know, like, I'm a politician. Or wait, no, he says, you're an activist. You have one issue. I'm a politician. I have 100. And I mean, I just really liked that scene. There was just so much of the movie that I liked, I thought really came together. And when I saw it a second time, it actually even more so enhanced it for me, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it's interesting that you mentioned the scene with the infidelity. And this is kind of where I felt like it kind of lost its footing, because I found like it was a really intriguing look into the depth of Martin Luther King, and a side that we haven't seen, but it was something that was only briefly explored, just like a bunch of other moments. Now, I know the film's focus was supposed to be primarily Selma, but with all of those little moments tied in there, it was kind of like, I want to touch on these topics, but I don't want to explore them. And I feel like they took away from the film more than they helped it. I understand, yeah, like you're the side where it was where you're talking about how it really explored the racial divide, but I kind of felt like that was more touching on the social, like the social significance of the film, rather than the quality of the film itself.
That's interesting. I know that Ava really kind of followed in the footsteps of a lot of other biopics, where it just kind of shows like a part of moment, kind of if it was like Steven Spielberg's Lincoln, or even My Week with Marilyn, about Marilyn Monroe, and it just kind of was talking about like a moment in time of that person, and I guess that standpoint, it was really interesting, and probably she didn't want to squeeze as much into it as possible, but I mean, I really just found it just powerful, like emotionally engaging and like relevant. And there were so many scenes that have still really like haunted me. Really ever since I've seen it, but I don't know if it's going to be, she may not even be nominated for an Oscar. I don't know if you guys follow like all the other awards leading up to that.
Yeah. I saw what you posted today about, Clint Eastwood starting to get buzz.
Yeah. Which is interesting because the film critic group I'm a member of kind of can sometimes be a bellwether indicator for how the Academy votes. Is kind of like a if there's a last minute shift, and my group actually voted for American Sniper as the best movie of last year, and we the group had voted for Argo, I guess, previously, and then like I guess Gravity last year, and it was kind of when momentum was shifting in that direction, which all three of those happened to be from the same studio, I might add. No, I'm just kidding. Well, actually, I'm not kidding. They are from the same studio. But she didn't get a Directors Guild Award nomination, but sometimes that doesn't matter. And I guess there's this really interesting issue of not only the if it's historically accurate, but I guess they weren't able to, I guess, see the film because it was really last minute, and with all
right.
these Academy
yeah.
like awards voters, they're able to get screeners, and a lot of people didn't because they actually could only make a certain amount and number of time, and they decided to solely focus on the Academy, which is a risk. So there's actually a chance that she may not be nominated for Best Director, which I really thought she did a great job. But then coming from her perspective as, you know, a black female director, I think is even more significant in itself. But I thought her accomplishment on its own merit was worthy of a nomination.
You know, and kind of we're talking about the Oscars and all. Have you guys seen the Globes? Globes are usually a precursor in a sense to the Oscars. And from what we've seen, that basically Birdman surprisingly didn't get many awards, and Boyhood's pretty much swept all the major awards. What do you guys think about that? That Boyhood is getting that really that hardcore following now, and with the Golden Globes probably signifying it might do well in the Oscars.
Well, I think we talked about this prior to, and this is one of the reasons why I think it's hard for any director to compete. You have Alejandro Iñárritu, who did Birdman all in one take, and then you have Richard Linklater, who did Boyhood, and over the course of 12 years, you have two like strong powerhouse directors who are like doing some really innovative things. So I don't see it as a surprise at all that like both Birdman and Boyhood were scattered throughout the Golden Globes.
But then at the same time, though, I mean, Grand Budapest Hotel won Best Comedy. I mean, that was kind of a shock.
Yeah, that really was. I mean, I love Wes Anderson, but I mean, you have to admit that he kind of falls into the Tim Burton realm of repetition when it comes to his films. Like, he's got a certain signature that's
oh, that's interesting
obvious.
Because. That's actually really funny because I don't like Tim Burton anymore, like last five movies. And I love Wes Anderson, but that's actually a really good point, actually, that I didn't think of. And that's impressive because I cringe when I hear Tim Burton's name, and I love Wes Anderson.
Yeah.
I think we can agree basically that it's basically all now for the award season. It's down to Birdman and Boyhood. I think those are the clear-cut two runaways, and I think everyone else is trailing behind, including Selma and all the other films.
I actually think that Imitation Game could sneak in there because it has Weinstein Company behind it. It's World War II. I believe it's making the same – it's on the same path as King's Speech was, because King's Speech, I believe, was not – was overlooked by the Golden Globes as well over the Social Network. And it's actually expanding Imitation Game as the way the King's Speech is. And it has Benedict Cumberbatch, who's pretty – you know, everyone's talking about him all the time. So I wouldn't be surprised if that kind of heads in that way, because I feel like there always has to be some historical movie that has to be like within the conversation, and that's kind of perfect. So I would put that as a very close third, and that director was nominated today for the Directors Guild Awards, which kind of concerns me, because if I did a top 25 list, some of the best directed films of 2014, he would not be in there. Like, I don't even know if it would be like 30 or 40 of the year. I'm not kidding. Like, it wasn't that well directed. But if they love a film, the Academy will go all for it, and they will nominate it for everything. Like, King's Speech got like a sound editing award for like an explosion or two. I'm not even kidding.
Yeah.
You know, and so I'm kind of worried about that, because I want Boyhood to win, or even like you know, like Birdman or whatever. But Imitation Game was it's a great crowd pleaser. Don't get me wrong. People love it. It's really entertaining, and it's really like moving. But it was kind of like Theory of Everything. It was really well done masterpiece theater, which is the same thing I said about Speech.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
Deviating from all the Oscar talk, there's news about Ant-Man. And Anthony, you have a lot of comments about that film, about the costume. You love the costume, don't you, that Paul Rudd's going
to
wear?
I do. I wanted to touch base real quick. I just wanted to add on the Oscar thing. Mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to us doing our Modis. I'm waiting for the Academy to announce their official nominations on the 15th, which is this mm-hmm. week. So we should be doing our own Modis, which I'm way more excited for. Now, going to Paul Rudd. Now, this is not a knock on the film itself. I'm not going to say a Marvel film is going to be bad. That'd be like shooting myself in the foot. That's just dumb. Don't say it until I see it. Purely from the aesthetics, I think that costume is horrible. Now, I don't think that Marvel is 100% is infallible. I don't like every costume that they produce for their films. I didn't like how in Guardians of the Galaxy, how they had Batista looking. I did not like his costume. Yeah, did not like his look.
I agree.
And this falls in that same line. I think it's a very ugly costume. I think Paul Rudd looks awkward in it. He definitely is breaking all of my images of Paul Rudd being that funny guy, and disassociating from that character with just that image, because he just looks so uncomfortable. But I know I'm ranting, but overall, I think it looks horrid.
You know, it reminds me of a red and blue RoboCop.
Right, right.
You know, it's just kind of goofy and ridiculous. He looks like a robot, literally, with that mask. And yeah, it's weird. It's just weird. I think that's my takeaway from it.
Well, I have to play devil's advocate.
I was going to say, set us straight, Ryan.
Yeah, well, I mean, first, look at the subject matter. I mean, it's Ant-Man. no matter what film you do about Ant-Man, it's going to be ridiculous. I mean, but I really remember us having the same conversation about Guardians way back when, saying like, I don't know about this one. And this was a film that nobody knew about. So
yeah.
The only issue that I would have with the film is all of the issues it had early on. And anytime there's reshoots or just like the director gets kicked off entirely, which is what happened, then yeah, I just
it's going to be some things like this that just we're going to wonder about.
But this is what's going to show like if Marvel can muscle up and they can save a film. If they can do this, then they're going to prove that they're unstoppable. If they
why are they making Ant-Man? I don't get it.
Well, I mean, there's an obvious reason. You look at, Robert Downey Jr. doesn't have much longer. Chris Evans wants to direct.
Yeah.
Chris Hemsworth can only go on for so long. He's still young, but I'm sure
his career's exploding otherwise, though, in other realms.
Then you look at other characters.
Why Ant-Man? I mean, Ant-Man is not necessarily...
Because they don't have Spider-Man.
I get it. And then when I first saw it, and I remember I first saw the logo, I'm like, oh, shit, they took that Spider-Man font and made Ant-Man. You guys might not know this if you haven't read the Spider-Man comics, that's very reminiscent to what the text work was for the Spider-Man logo in the mid 90s. But it was along that lines, and I am not knocking the film. I'm not saying it's going to be a bad film. That's just dumb. I learned my lesson. I just think it's an unappealing costume. It's a very unappealing costume. I think they probably could have found a better character to develop rather than Ant-Man. And that's all I'm going to say about that.
Moving on.
Well, Kenny, do you have anything to say on that?
Actually, when I did see the trailer and the costume, I'm kind of with Anthony. I'm a little nervous, and it kind of comes to mind, you know, how they got rid of the director, they did this new direction, and it's kind of, I'm a little bit nervous about the Marvel brand, and it's kind of what I saw in Guardians of the Galaxy that kind of made me panic about it, kind of with my review, is that it's kind of becoming like Pixar. It's going from really kind of creativity to just kind of churning out like one product after the other.
Right.
Okay.
And I'm just kind of becoming concerned that kind of the creativity we've seen in the past would kind of make way for just, well, let's follow this script and I guess structure of all this. And I guess with all these films coming out, and you know, when Anthony, you said why Ant-Man, I mean, it's because of Guardians of the Galaxy. That was the number one movie of 2014,
right, exactly.
Which still, that still shocks me. That's going to shock me for years. And I'm just, I mean, because it was just so unexpected, really out of nowhere. And I mean, Hollywood, they love, once they have a hit, they like to, you know, churn that over and over again. And so we may, yeah, of course, but we may see this for like a while to come. But one of the things I did post on our Facebook page was out of the 125 or 30 wide release films, four of them next for this year, 2015, are comic book movies. So they're not making a lot yet.
Yeah.
I'm concerned that it's going to get to that point where we might be getting oversaturated with it. Like it's going to get to a point where I'm not going to want to watch comic. I don't watch comic book television shows for that reason. I'm not going to watch the movies.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, 2015 is like the sleeper year kind of when it comes to comic book movies, because there's really nothing besides, I mean, you have the Age of Ultron, obviously the big one, but you have the Fantastic Four, and that's about it. There's really nothing. The big year is 2016. That's when you have Captain America. You have Batman versus Superman. All these big major movies are coming out next year. So I think this is the year that's kind of like going to take a break from all the comic book movies. And honestly, I don't know if you guys have kind of looked at the list for 2015. It kind of seems unimpressive. I just recently went over the list of movies coming out this year. You have Jurassic Park. That's probably going to get its attention, and Avengers and Spectre, you know, the James Bond film. But there's really nothing that exciting that's coming out in 2015 that like that 2014 had or 2016 is going to have.
No, 2016 is definitely stacked. And in addition to what Marvel and DC are doing directly, we got to keep in mind what Fox is doing. You know, they've got the X-Men Apocalypse. They announced a Deadpool movie. They have Gambit with Channing Tatum. They just added like three more movies to an already packed calendar. I'm concerned a little. Fantastic Four is this year, right?
Yes.
Oh my.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't like it. I'm not. They put it for August. I believe it's in like an August release. It's like a late summer release. I think there's a reason for it.
Late summer is
the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles release date. That's what they should
use
that as.
You know what? I hate to make a preemptive assumption, but I'll say Fantastic Four. I'd rather watch Gotham than Fantastic Four.
I'm gonna be the one who's gonna be the contrarian. I'm gonna say that that's probably gonna be one of the best comic movies of this year.
No way! Not with Age of
Ultron. You have four. Well, you have four to choose from, Anthony. So you
I know.
Why are you guys hating on Gotham? Hey, that's a great show.
Yeah, to like you and four other people. but I like
it, man. This is all legit. I like Gotham. I love what they're doing with Robin Lord Taylor, his character of the Penguin. He is the center of the show. It's not James Gordon anymore. It's him and the character of Penguin, which might be Joker with all the Reddit talk that some guy posted, and it basically blew up into this whole big issue where he had to publicly address himself.
Yeah, I saw that.
About it.
I hope they keep rotating the main character. You know, go from Jim Gordon, then go to Penguin, and then maybe focus on other characters. Show us, make Gotham a character, which was, I thought, the original intended idea.
But I think they're moving into that direction. I think they're really focusing. I mean, yeah, the first season so far, it's about two people. It's about the Penguin character and about Jim Gordon. But I think they're really planting good seeds to really for the next couple seasons. I think they have it already planned out where they're going to feature more villains, more characters, and build up on that. I think you're going to see a lot in the next season and a half. I'm actually excited about where the show is heading.
I certainly hope so.
Well, keep us updated, Jim, as you can see.
Wait, I wanted to ask you guys, speaking of, I guess, comic TV shows, are you into my friend, my best friend, it's his favorite show. It's like one of the only shows he can watch with his entire family of his kids, like 10 and 9. I guess Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., or is that like, I know people
That lost its luster. Now they have Agent Carter, which is seemingly like replacing Agents of the S.H.I.E.L.D., at least in a time slot and the night. They're kind of deviating from Agents of the S.H.I.E.L.D. I know it's probably on hiatus, I think, right now, but it seems like they're really pushing Agent Carter now, which I haven't seen, actually. It's, I think, two episodes in. There's an episode tonight. What do you guys think about that show?
Well, going back to what Kenny was saying, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., I feel like it's just what Jim said. It had a slow start. It picked up for a little bit, and then it kind of tapered off. But shifting back to Agent Carter, I saw it and thought that it was very well done. I really like Haley Atwell. I think she's great.
And hot.
Yeah, and it was very reminiscent of the time period, too. So they really captured that with, like, the costumes and... Mm-hmm. In the setting in general, I think that was probably its best quality. And they even touch on the sexism that existed during that period. It's almost like a Mad Men-esque type S.H.I.E.L.D. organization.
I like it to have Howard Stark on the show. That's kind of cool.
The right words.
Yeah.
Howard Stark.
I didn't give it a shot. I was going to wait for the Netflix shows to come out, you know, Daredevil and all those other things that Marvel is putting out there. But, dude, if you're saying it's like a period piece, kind of like the first Avenger was, the first Captain America movie, which I loved, I think I should check that out.
Yeah, I think it's... It's like a really... I think, you know, I think it's she could be like a really strong role model for younger girls too, like that are really into the superheroes, like superhero side of things, because she kind of proves how she's overlooked, and she's really probably one of the most creative and best agents on the team at the time.
Okay,
interesting. What about Flash, guys? I mean, we're just overlooking Flash already. That's one of the newer shows.
That's kind of over and done with, isn't it?
For the time period. I thought it's back on CW.
Oh, maybe I missed it.
Yeah, it just came back with Gotham. Gotham's back, everyone, watching. Also.
Clearly we're not watching.
Yeah. Wow. Well, I am a proponent of Flash also. I think I really like the guy that plays him. I think they really did a surprising good casting. And he's got that comedic, kind of goofy. He is what I would want Peter Parker to be, actually. Hmm. You know, in a sense, the way he acts and portrays his character Flash, it's very reminiscent to Peter Parker in my...
There you go with that word again. Sorry.
Yeah.
Well, you can't just say anybody could be Peter Parker. You start throwing words like that around, it catches my attention. It's like, I don't know, I bend my ear, I turn my head. It's like somebody, you know, had an accident in front of me.
Peter Parker should be in the films.
And then all of a sudden, Andrew Garfield's cast for a third time if you say something like that.
Oh, boy.
I really get that sense from him.
Anyway, moving on from comic book television world, and if you guys kind of want to touch on comic book type things, I hear you talked about the James Bond movie briefly. And there was a rumor, again, which is a repeated rumor, comes up, I want to say every 6 months or so, about Idris Elba possibly taking on the role for the next iteration of the James Bond franchise. You like that segue?
I am 100% on board with that. I love Idris Elba. I have said this from the beginning that he should be the next James Bond. He, like, after seeing Luther, yes. Okay, I'm done. Go ahead.
I think like Idris Elba. I think he's an outstanding actor. Very kind of underrated. I think this guy is definitely a leading man in Hollywood. And he's kind of, he just plays leading man roles in smaller films or you know, films that most don't see. One of the better actors out there, no question. But why are we eliminating Daniel Craig? Is he like said that he's done
he's
with
He's getting
Craig?
Old.
He's getting old. That's what
he
it is.
He can still do a couple more. I think this is a quick
I mean, when he did Skyfall, he said he probably has one or two more in him. But
yeah, I mean, he's been, this is like going to be like his fifth James Bond movie coming up, right? Fourth, at least.
It's been like 10 years.
Yeah, I mean, no, yeah, I mean, that's a decade of work. I mean, I can definitely see that. You know, it's really funny that you do mention that, because after I was watching all the screeners with my family over Christmas, which is one serious subject matter after the other, my brother decided to put on a Pacific Rim, and we had some drinks, and immediately I thought, this guy would be an amazing James Bond, and I got my family to like agree on that as well. Yeah. So I'm totally with you as well.
Yeah, you know what really does it, Kenny? I think if you thought he was great in Pacific Rim, you really need to watch the BBC show Luther, because just his character in general is so dynamic, probably more dynamic than any other Bond, and he actually captures the essence of what the original inception of Bond was, which is a very conflicted character. He didn't really like killing. He was just like very good at it, and they really like, I think the only true Bond that ever captured that or came close to it was Timothy Dalton. And
okay, yeah,
but a lot of people talk about the race issue. I don't think there is a race issue with playing James Bond. Race wasn't even there until wasn't even established until Sean Connery. It wasn't even in the books. But I will say nationality should matter. I do want
a
someone
British
with
guy.
I want a British guy, because if he's working for MI6, then like. I mean, honestly, Americans, we can't do British accents.
No.
That's why Kevin Costner did Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves with an American accent, because you can't get it down.
One name to think about besides Idris Elba. How about this guy, Henry Cavill? Superman, basically. I know we don't miss Superman, but he's British. I think he would be a young Bond.
I'll say this: I'm a heterosexual man, but that is a pretty looking man. He would be the prettiest Bond I have ever seen.
I've been watching a lot of the Tudors lately, and I've been looking at this guy. I'm like, he's a really pretty guy too.
He's got the ruffles
and everything.
I mean, not to discredit Idris Elba's looks, but I think Henry Cavill. He would probably attract a few more ladies to the. To the action-filled Bond films that we know.
You know, I agree, and he's kind of quiet. He seems like that brooding type in a sense that you don't know what to... Could be a nice guy, but he has that kind of I will do something I don't know what, you know, you can't expect look to him, too, you know? He's got that quiet demeanor where you kind of fear him in a sense.
I don't get that from him. I mean, I kind of get it. No, man, I saw... What was that, a movie where he was, like a great...
Superman?
Greek god or something.
Superman.
No, the one he did before that.
I know what you're talking about. It was like
the Immortals. The Immortals. Right. And I remember he's supposed to be like this intimidating, threatening, I'm scary when people see me, they run away type guy, and I didn't get it from him. He does not look like somebody who's going to point a gun at me and I'm going to be scared. I'm going to be like, put that away.
No, I'd probably drop my gun and get kind of giddy. Be like, huh?
But, I don't see
it. I wanted to ask, who would you not want to be James Bond that you could think of that you think Hollywood would go for? Because I could see someone in Hollywood saying, let's make it Eddie Redmayne or Benedict Cumberbatch, you know, and I'm just, yeah.
Oh, Mr. Overrated, Benedict.
Benedict's going to be that guy they kind of put into everything. He's going to turn into the early stages of the British Johnny Depp. He's just going to be someone that's interchangeable for a while.
I don't like him. I don't think he's good. I mean, he's good as an actor, but like, he's not dynamic. He's not that interesting. He's very, he's a good actor with, I think he lacks charisma, actually. That's what I think.
You want Fassbender?
Oh, I love Fassbender. I think Fassbender.
Ooh, I could maybe go for that.
He seems like somebody that could be a little bit more intimidating.
He is a ass kicker for sure, and another guy, Clive Owen, if you're talking Bond.
He's too old.
He's old, too, yeah.
Right, but that's old. Like the older. I think Idris Elba would be a better choice, but Benedict Cumberbatch, he just seems like this skinny little weasel. I don't know. I just don't, you know, come on.
I don't think he's even as well known as his hype. I really think that the only people that know who he is are pretty much people who...
Us.
Well, no, it's people who follow movies like us.
Yeah.
Like, really, really follow the movies. People who live, like, in big cities like New York, L.A. Definitely Sherlock fans.
Right.
Uh-huh. And women on Tumblr. He could break out with Imitation Game, but I don't think he's as big as the online hype is. Like,
it should have happened with Star Trek.
I don't think he could open it. Yeah, exactly. Like, I keep forgetting he was in that movie.
You know what he is, Kenny? He's kind of...
Forgettable!
He kind of has, like, that very niche following, kind of a cult film like Rocky Horror
The Cumberbitches. Like, that's what they call his fans, the Cumberbitches.
I agree with Kenny. He's not universally well-known, but... But I think the outcry from the few fans that he has is so strong that that's where he gets his presence made.
I would prefer to see Hiddleston take on James Bond before I would like to see Cumberbatch. Loki.
I can buy that.
Yeah, I like Hiddleston.
I could see that. I could see him being suave. I mean, I'm just kind of reacting to, you know, ideas, suggestions, actual British actors. Taking on the role. So if anybody out there is listening, here are suggestions. You can send our check to the movie blog, care of Anthony.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I will say if Idris Elba gets it, I want Rush Limbaugh as the villain.
Oh my gosh. I didn't want to mention his name. I didn't want to give him that.
But I want him to be just the epitome, like maybe like a Jabba the Hutt type villain where he just sits and he dies in a just horribly like gruesome way.
Nah, I would rather Rush Limbaugh is one of those people that we need to stop mentioning. The only reason people even know about him is because we repeat the filth that he says. And it's
Why
our
does
own
even
fault.
Matter?
It's because of us. It's because of people like us and other people in the media, they repeat, oh, Rush Limbaugh said, I would have never known if they didn't repeat it.
But who watches or listens to this guy to begin with? We're talking like probably like 60-year-old people or
I mean
older.
he's got a following, he's got an audience, but soon they'll be all dead and hopefully they'll will move on from the type of thinking that is ingrained in his brain.
This is shifting to Hardball.
Okay.
I was just gonna say my family members who were watching Pacific Rim with me, and when I mentioned that he was going to be Bond, they really liked it. And then I know that some of my family members listen to Rush Limbaugh a lot, and I mentioned that, and they're like, oh, well, the guy in Pacific Rim would be a good Bond anyway, which is kind of funny.
Yeah.
How not even people who like him, agree on that aspect from, a cinematic point, I guess. It's
He's a really talented guy. I like him.
I mean, yeah, he wasn't even entitled to opinion about film. Like, so I don't even get that.
Yeah, I mean, unless he's invited to, like, I don't know, press screenings or something, do people want to know his opinion on movies?
Right, which they don't.
Speaking of which, Glenn Beck loved Selma. I just thought I'd throw that in there as well. I read that today. He really loved it a lot, which is interesting. Wow. Yeah, I think he liked the element of the Christianity in it, and he also liked the idea of it just being like a really kind of honest depiction. I guess he doesn't like LBJ, but I guess I could just throw that in there. It was pretty interesting, but I guess if you want to segue to something else.
Yeah, I think you and I could probably go on for a bit, Kenny.
Yeah.
But anyways.
Yes, anyways. Anything else, guys, that you have on your mind that you want to let go of right now? Because it seems like this is like the, you know, therapy session.
No, not right now. I mean, I'm looking forward to 2015. It's going to be a little bit lighter on, you know, comic book films. I'm looking forward to doing our Modis. If you guys don't remember, I think I mentioned on the last podcast or prior to that one, the Modis, the movie of the year, the official movie of the year selections of the movie blog. We're going to do it. We're going to put together our best votes. We're going to put together ballots. I'm looking forward to that. It's going to be a better year. We need to start doing some more things. Kenny, I know you're going to try to attend the South by Southwest again.
I'm going to try to. I have two of my siblings are graduating high school and college in May. And also I'm still looking for full-time work. I have some offers maybe pending, but so there's a lot of things that may prevent me from attending, but I really want to go, especially last year when they had Richard Linklater interviewing Wes Anderson about Grand Budapest Hotel. I mean, that was huge for them.
Yeah, I saw your post on that.
I remember that post on that. Dude, I remember your entire time there. I remember the freaking accident that happened, and I was worried about you. But there's that coming up. There's a lot more film festivals in coming up. I'm hoping that we get to increase that, our presence with those. Anything else? I don't know.
Nothing to think of, no.
No? All right. Well, here's to the first official podcast of 2015. That's right.
Yes.
We made it another year down. Now we're going to have to change our banner on our Facebook page because we're celebrating 11 years.
Oh, that's a good point. I didn't think about that.
Yeah. Maybe I'll even talk to Campea. Who knows?
Whoa, what is he going to do?
We'll cross that bridge later.
Greetings, child.
He's going to be like, greeting, Earthlings. No. No, Campea. we'll talk. Let's see.
Sounds good.
But that's all that I have. I was going to say, you know, we were going to talk about the Golden Globes. Maybe there'll be a Taken 4. I'm going to watch A Walk Among the Saint Stones and try to make sure we cover all of Liam Neeson for all of the year, everything he does, whatever.
Can I just throw in how hot Maggie Grace is? Oh, my God. I saw her in Conan and just.
She's pretty cute for a blonde. I loved Lost, though. I was upset that if you watch Lost, her last episode actually really irked me. I was like, no!
Kenny, you and I need to talk more because I'm a huge Lost fan.
Maggie Grace. I hate Maggie Grace.
Wait, what?
Whoa. Did I say it like that? I don't hate her. She's hot.
No. I wanted to bring up something. Speaking with you, Maggie Grace and Taken.
I cheered you.
Oh, you did? I wanted to bring up something real quick that I noticed kind of with really similar kind of ad campaigns, was if you've seen the ad for American Sniper, all they show is when, I guess, Bradley Cooper's wife calls him on the phone, right. And then there's that battle sequence, and she freaks out on the phone, and it's really gripping. It really reminded me of that when the first Taken had that ad of just this scene of Maggie Grace on the phone with her dad, and she gets like pulled under the bed. I don't know. It was really, really gripping. It was a very similar ad campaign.
Yeah, I kind of felt that too. I'm actually going to screen it tomorrow.
Oh, you've seen American Sniper? I've already seen it, but if you want to write a review, obviously. No, but it's really good. It's good.
But That's it. Let's have it. We did our show. 2015. Let's do it.
Woohoo!
Yay.
And everyone, make sure to check out themovieblog.com. Check us out on iTunes, right? That's where we're streaming, Ryan. Anywhere else?
Right. Yeah, we also post this on Facebook, Google Plus.
Like the Facebook page, yeah.
Twitter. Kenny's doing an amazing job with our Facebook page.
He's the man when it comes to that.
Oh, man, I'm jealous. I learned half my news from him. And that's it. 2015, let's do it. Yeah.
Awesome.
Right. Thanks, see guys. You guys. Yeah.